Chapter 15, Governmental Accounting. The material in this chapter and in the not-for-profit accounting chapter account for around 20% of your exam score. So listen closely and arm yourself for exam day. This is a very important topic. Governmental Accounting Basics. The primary objective of governmental accounting is to provide information that is useful and benefits a wide range of financial statement users, including the cost of governmental services provided, the sufficiency of revenues to cover those costs, and the financial position of the entity. Now, the GASB came out with a new GAAP hierarchy for state and local governments. And basically, there are two types of categories. There's authoritative and non-authoritative. So back in the day, we had the House of GAAP, and then that went away with the codification. You had authoritative and non-authoritative. So just like that, we have, for governmental accounting, for state and local governments, we have authoritative and non-authoritative. Now, within authoritative, we have Category A and Category B. Category A has the most authority. And under Category A, we have the GASB statements. So in the GAAP hierarchy for state and local governments, GASB statements carry the most weight and the most authority. Now, then we have Category B, which is still authoritative, but less authority. And under Category B, we have GASB technical bulletins, GASB implementation guides, and GASB approved AICPA literature. So you don't need to remember, like, what is a GASB technical bulletin or a GASB implementation guide, like, where does it fall? Just remember, there's only one type of pronouncement or authoritative guidance that is in Category A, which is the most authoritative, and those are the GASB statements. So they are the mamba jamba, most authoritative type of guidance, GASB statements. So there's GASB statements, and then there's everything else. Now, one little twist here, one little plot twist, is that GASB concept statements are non-authoritative. So GASB statements, most authoritative. GASB concepts statements, non-authoritative. But everything else besides the GASB statements are Category B, authoritative. So again, Category A, GASB statements, that's it. Category B, everything else GASB related, including some AICPA literature that's GASB approved. That's also authoritative, Category B. Then there's non-authoritative, which are the GASB concepts statements. And then other authoritative bodies like FASB pronouncements and other things like that. So again, Category A, and you're like, Jeff, enough already. I'm going to say it again. Category A, GASB statements. Category B, everything else GASB, except GASB concepts statements. And it sounds weird to say concepts statements. That's how it's written. GASB concepts statements are non-authoritative along with FASB pronouncements. So now that we know that there is absolutely no way on exam day that you will forget the GAAP hierarchy for state and local governments, we will move on. There are three fund types: governmental funds, proprietary funds, and fiduciary funds. Governmental accounting uses two types of accounting. You have accrual and modified accrual. Now, you need to know the difference. Accrual basis has a current economic resources focus, and revenues are recognized when earned. So accrual, current economic resources focus. Modified accrual has a current financial resources focus, and revenues are recognized not when they're earned, but rather when they are available and measurable. Accrual, current economic, modified accrual, current financial. Accrual, revenue is recognized when earned. Modified accrual, revenue is recognized when available and measurable. Budget estimates, appropriations, and encumbrances. An appropriation is the highest amount allowed for an expenditure. An encumbrance records purchases and then reserves it for the encumbrance. An expenditure is similar to an expense. It is the actual cost of something. So how do we open a period within governmental accounting? Well, we have the opening budgetary entry, and you should know how to open and close a period on your exam. You need to know the entries. So how do we open it? The opening budgetary entry, we debit estimated revenues control, credit appropriations control, and then we debit or credit budgetary fund balance, which is a plug. So again, we debit estimated revenues control, credit appropriations control, and then we debit or credit budgetary fund balance. That's the plug. So how do we close the period? Well, we debit appropriations control, which makes sense because when we opened the period, we credited appropriations control. Now we're closing it, so we debit appropriations control. And when we opened the period, we debited estimated revenues control. So to close it, we credit estimated revenues control. And what's the plug? You guessed it, budgetary fund balance. Now we said that there are three types of funds: governmental funds, proprietary funds, and fiduciary funds. We will now cover each in detail, beginning with the governmental funds. Governmental funds use the modified accrual basis of accounting. So pop quiz, what type of focus does modified accrual basis of accounting have? It has the current financial resources focus. And how do you measure revenue with modified accrual? Well done. You recognize it when it's available and measurable. Think back to just regular accrual, it's when it's earned. But modified accrual, revenue is recognized when available and measurable. For instance, sales tax revenue to be received within 60 days of the fiscal year end that will be used to fund expenditures made prior to year end, they are treated as revenue in the current fiscal year. It's available and measurable. Now, the governmental funds include five fund types. You have your general fund, special revenue fund, permanent fund, capital projects fund, and debt service fund. Governmental, special revenue, permanent, capital projects, debt service. The general fund is the operating fund of the governmental unit, so to speak. It records significant revenues such as taxes, tickets, fines, licenses, and it records significant expenditures such as police, education, the fire department. That is the general fund. The special revenue fund is restricted for special purposes such as street repairs. The permanent fund is legally restricted, and only fund earnings can be used to fund programs, which means that the principal remains intact. It's permanent in the permanent fund. Then you have the capital projects fund, which is used to acquire and build facilities and other structures. That makes sense. The debt service fund It handles repayment of long-term debt and related interest. So let's talk about the governmental fund balance types. You have restricted, committed, assigned, unassigned, and non-spendable. Restricted means it's been restricted by the contributor. So it's very, very strict. Committed means it's been restricted by the government, which is less strict because, hey, they make the rules, they can undo the restriction if they want to. Assigned, it's intended to be used for a purpose, much less strict. Unassigned, it's available to be spent. And non-spendable, it's not in a spendable state like inventory. Governmental fund statements. These include the balance sheet and the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Again, governmental fund statements. Balance sheet and the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Revenue recognition. Let's cover it again. Is it available? Is it measurable? If yes, it's revenue, regardless of when it is spent. There are two types of tax revenue, derived and imposed tax revenue. Derived revenue is collected by people doing things like buying cars, sales tax, or going to work, income tax. Imposed tax revenue comes from taxes being assessed just because things exist. This would include property tax on your car. Your car could sit in the driveway all year and never move, but the fact that it exists means that it gets taxed. It would also include real estate taxes. Imposed tax revenue is recorded when it is budgeted. Proprietary funds. These use the accrual basis of accounting. Note the difference between proprietary funds and governmental funds, which use modified accrual. Proprietary funds use accrual. Think of proprietary funds as a business. So they have something proprietary, and they use the accrual method of accounting. And government uses some funky, weird method of accounting, modified accrual, because government does everything weird and always has to make things more complicated than it needs to be. Okay, proprietary funds use an economic resource focus. And revenue is recognized when earned and measurable. With the proprietary funds are the internal service fund and the enterprise fund. So the proprietary funds make up, or included in the proprietary funds, are the internal service fund and the enterprise fund. The internal service fund serves the needs of other governmental units. Included in this would be the motor pool that fixes government vehicles. So it services internal government units. The enterprise fund, it provides goods or services to external users, similar to a business. An example would be the U.S. Postal Service. Okay, proprietary fund financial statements. These include a statement of net position and a statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net assets, and a statement of cash flows. So proprietary fund, financial statements, statement of net position is like a balance sheet. So statement of net position, and then a statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net assets. It's like your income statement, and then a statement of cash flows because it's like a proprietary business. It has a statement of cash flows. The third type of governmental fund is the fiduciary fund, which, like the proprietary funds, also use the accrual basis of accounting. And like the proprietary funds, they have an economic resource focus. And within the fiduciary funds, you have the agency fund, pension trust fund, investment trust fund, and the private purpose trust fund. So, agency fund. This is where the government acts as an agent or a custodian. Pension trust fund. This is where the government is a trustee for a pension plan. Investment trust fund, which is similar to the pension trust fund, but instead of pension plans, the government is a trustee over a series of investments. And the private purpose trust funds, which handles trusts that benefit various individuals and entities. So again, within the fiduciary funds, agency, pension, investment, private purpose. Agency, pension, investment, private purpose. Let's move on to investment and liability valuation. So we will talk about fair value. Fair value is the price received to sell an investment. And it's assumed that the investment is held for income or profit. Or fair value is the price paid to transfer a liability. So again, fair value is the price paid to sell an investment or the price paid to transfer a liability. And for an investment to be held at fair value, it must be held for income or profit. There are three valuation approaches, and this is similar to regular accounting. There are three valuation approaches: market approach, cost approach, and income approach. The market approach derives its price from similar transactions. The cost approach is the price to replace a similar asset. And the income approach converts future cash flows to current amounts. So an example would be using present value. Market approach, cost approach, income approach. And also like regular accounting, we have the fair value hierarchy. We have in three levels, level one, two, and three. Level one is the best level. And level one uses quoted prices for the same assets or liabilities. Level two uses quoted prices for similar assets and liabilities. So it's not quite as good as level one. Level three just uses the best data available, and it's the worst. How do you value donated assets? Like donated assets, donated art, how do you value that as a governmental entity? You use what's called acquisition value. And acquisition value is the price that the entity would use if they purchased these assets instead of receiving them as a donation. So if they went out and purchased some piece of art, instead of the art being donated to them, how much would they pay out if they went out and purchased it? That is the acquisition value. So for donated items, governmental entities use the acquisition value. Moving on to investment and liability disclosures. These are organized by asset and liability type or class. And for fair value measurement, you have to disclose what valuation technique you used and if there's been any change in how you have valued the assets. And also you have to disclose as a governmental entity what level of fair value hierarchy was used. And the effect of switching to fair value on the financial statements, you have to adjust all prior periods presented and restate the financial statements. So that was investment and liability valuation. We will now transition to the government-wide financial statements. The government-wide financial statements are reported on an accrual basis with an economic measurement focus. First, we have the statement of net position, like the balance sheet, and what is included. You have your assets, which are ordered by liquidity and classified as both current and non-current. And again, assets, they are ordered by liquidity in the government-wide financial statements, and they're classified as both current and non-current. Then you have your deferred outflows of resources, which is a future use of net assets. So if you see a multiple choice question asking you which option is a deferred outflow, ask yourself which option has cash leaving the entity. Also, deferred outflows follow assets in presentation because it's going to use those assets. So in the government-wide financial statements, we have assets. And then we have deferred outflows of resources. Next, we have liabilities, which, like assets, are current and non-current and also ordered by liquidity. So we have assets, deferred outflows of resources, then liabilities. And then after liabilities, we have deferred inflows of resources. And you can remember that deferred inflows follows liabilities because money is coming in, and now the entity owes some sort of service. Also, if you see a question on exam day about deferred inflows, ask which option has cash entering the entity. So again, we have assets, deferred outflows of resources, liabilities, deferred inflows of resources. The statement of net position also reports restricted net assets, as well as unrestricted net assets and capital assets, which are reported net of debt, which is the asset cost, minus accumulated appreciation, minus liabilities, giving you net assets. Now, something that's new is that interest costs that are incurred before the end of the construction period, these are now expensed as incurred. They're not capitalized. And so this is intended to enhance the usefulness of the government-wide financial statements by showing the cost of borrowing versus just capitalizing the interest cost and then including it with the asset cost and amortizing it over time. So again, interest costs for construction that are incurred before the end of the construction period for government-wide financial statements, these are now expensed as incurred and are not capitalized. And then also included is infrastructure, which uses a modified approach. This is where the infrastructure is reported at cost, but no accumulated depreciation is reported. Again, infrastructure uses a modified approach, and it's reported at cost, but no accumulated depreciation is reported. Finally, the statement of net position is divided into government activities and business activities. Moving on. Also in the government-wide financial statements is the statement of activities, where the government activities are divided by function, and revenues are separated into general revenues and program revenues. The notes to the government-wide financial statements are considered part of the financial statements. Don't forget that. Financial statement presentation. A component unit is a legally separate entity that the primary government officials are accountable for. And these component units are reported in the entity-wide financial statements, but not the fund financial statements. So component units are in the entity-wide financial statements. They are not in the fund financial statements. Now, if the activities of a component, again, in the entity-wide financial statements, if the activities of the component are distinguishable from the rest of the governmental entity, then discrete presentation is required. If the activities of the component cannot be identified and separated from the rest of the governmental activities, then blended presentation is warranted. We will now discuss defined benefit pension plans. And the financial statements required for a defined benefit pension plan are the statement of fiduciary net position and the statement of changes in fiduciary net position. The statement of fiduciary net position includes assets, deferred outflows, liabilities, deferred inflows, and then fiduciary net position. The different types of benefits that were provided, as well as the different classes of members within the plan, also the board of directors information, and also a little bit about the policies of the investments and how they arrived at fair value for the investments. Okay, I'm going to wrap up this chapter with leases. Now, I realize that this might not flow like putting leases at the end of the governmental chapter might not flow as well. But what I like to do is whenever new pronouncements come out or different ways of doing things, I like to really emphasize them. And so governmental leases, GASB 87, it's kind of similar to what the FASB did with leases. It switched it up. And so now you have, for again, this is governmental only. You now have three different types of lease classifications. You have a short-term lease. Then you have contracts that transfer ownership. Then you have other leases. And so the short-term lease, contracts that transfer ownership, and other leases. Those are the three types. Short-term, contracts that transfer ownership, then other. Now, the lease term is the period of time that the lessee has a non-cancelable right to use a leased asset. And then you add to that any extension option if the exercising of that option is expected, and you subtract any cancel option if, again, the exercising of that option is expected. So that's the lease term. A short-term lease, as you may guess, it is a lease term that doesn't exceed 12 months, and it's accounted for like a FASB operating lease with a lease term less than 12 months. So the accounting for this, the lessee recognizes rent expenditure. The lessor recognizes rent revenue. So that's for a short-term lease. Lessee recognizes a rent expenditure. Lessor has a rent revenue. Now, for contracts that transfer ownership, the second type, this is accounted for, it's similar to a FASB sales type lease. On the lessee side of things, it's accounted for as a finance purchase. And it's a non-current asset for proprietary and fiduciary funds. And again, this is the lessee. The lessee recognizes a lease liability. Now, for governmental funds, it's an expenditure. It's a capital outlay. And it's other financing sources. So it's a non-current asset for proprietary and fiduciary funds, and it's an expenditure. It's a capital outlay for governmental funds. and that is a contract that transfers ownership from the lessee side. From the lessor side, the lessor recognizes a rent receivable for governmental funds, proprietary funds, and fiduciary funds. And they recognize a deferred inflow of resources or revenue. That's for governmental funds. And it derecognizes the non-current asset for proprietary and fiduciary funds. And it might be hard to keep all this in your head. It's part of why I put it at the end of this chapter. You can read the ninja notes over it as well. So, again, from the lessor's perspective, it recognizes a lease receivable, and that's for governmental funds, proprietary funds, and fiduciary. Now, governmental funds, they recognize a deferred inflow of resources or revenue, and proprietary and fiduciary funds, it derecognizes the non-current asset. For other leases, and these are, so what are other leases? These are all leases that are not the first two. They're not short-term and they don't transfer ownership. These are accounted for like a FASB direct financing lease. From the lessee's perspective, it's accounted for as a finance purchase. So it's a right of use asset for proprietary and fiduciary funds, and it is an expenditure capital outlay for governmental funds. And the lessee recognizes a lease liability for proprietary and fiduciary funds, and governmental funds recognize an other financing source. That's the lessee. From the lessor's perspective, and this is for governmental funds, proprietary funds, and fiduciary funds, from the lessor's perspective, the lessor recognizes a lease receivable and a deferred inflow of resources or revenue. This includes Chapter 15.